I'll just leave Matt for last when we do the thing where we talk about the thing, because I know Chris and I have a lot of questions. Hello and welcome to The Great 80s, the great 80s movie debate, where we see if the movies of the 1980s still hold up today. If you're a child of the 80s, a fan of classic films, or just a movie geek, you've come to the right place. The focus of today's podcast is 1980s Xanadu, directed by Robert Greenwald and starring Olivia Newton-John, Gene Kelly, and who gives a shit? My name is Dave, and our illustrious panel of 80s experts includes Christy.
I will love you forever, ever, ever, ever.
Matt.
A lot of people ask me and Christy why we don't have kids. Well, it's time for me to reveal my hidden past. I am the tightrope walker from the final scene of Xanadu.
And Chris.
I'm wearing roller skates.
We have been on the phone for 48 minutes, and that's the best you can come up with.
The best I can come up with, yep.
I like it.
Thank you.
Well, we like to start every episode by having each panelist reflect on their past experience with the movie we're reviewing, so we can see where everyone is coming from. So, Christy, what is your history with Xanadu?
This is one of those intrinsic films that I couldn't tell you when I saw it, because I don't know. I feel like I've always known this movie. I think I may have seen it maybe a few years after on TV, because I was a huge Olivia Newton-John fan. But not until we bought it a few years ago did I actually have it. Of course, let's see, how long have we been married? 13 years? So I have had to hear about this damn movie for 13 years. That is my exposure to it, that I have to live with the fact that Olivia Newton-John is quote-unquote really cute in this movie.
She is really cute.
She really is. I totally agree. I really do.
All right, well, Chris, what about you?
I've always heard about this movie, mostly from Matt. I've never seen it. I love Olivia Newton-John. Also, mostly from Grease. It's probably the only thing I really enjoyed her from, and physical music video. But I watched it because Matt mailed me a copy because he had four to fucking spare. Am I right, Matt, or no?
No, that was the only one I had to spare. The others aren't to spare at all.
And that, okay, I will talk. I'll ask that question later. Okay.
Okay.
So for the first time I saw it.
All right, well, I'm going to go next. We'll save Matt for last. I had seen parts of this when I was a little kid, when it was on HBO, and I had never seen the whole thing. So I'm considering my viewing for this episode my first viewing. But I had seen parts of it, and I guess I was so little that I didn't understand what movies were, because I had seen Grease, or at least parts of that was suitable for a young kid, and I didn't understand what was going on. Like, to me, I was wondering, why was she with this other guy, and what happened to the nice boy in the leather jacket? So that was my first exposure to it, and haven't seen anything other than, like both of you said, hearing Matt talk about this movie over the years. So I really want to hear what Matt has to say and hear if there's a story behind his history with Xanadu.
No, Seth, I hate to disappoint you, but there's no real big story. I mean, I've seen this entire movie throughout the past 30 years, but honestly, it's at least the first time I can remember watching it from beginning to end in one sitting. Like, I'd always catch it and watch it up to a point, usually to a specific song, and go away from it. I will say this, though. I'm not much for female lead vocals. However, I love this soundtrack, and that's probably where any of my, I don't even know what you want to call it,
fandom?
Kind addiction?
Of, yeah, fandom starts from this movie, is a soundtrack. I love all the songs she sings. I don't care so much for the ensemble songs, and in fact, not at all, but when she sings in this song, I love it. So it stems from the music, if that answers your question at all.
I actually always thought, Matt, that this is like one of your favorite like childhood movies. Is that true?
No, I don't think I've ever I shouldn't say. I can't recall seeing it when I was younger. It wasn't until, like, you know, I get through high school and college, and then, you know, 80s, you still get past an age where you don't care what people think of what you're listening to. So you start listening to music you liked or needed to re-experience. And, you know, in my mid-30s or early 30s, and that's when I think when it really started again. I was like, I heard Xanadu, I heard Magic, heard I'm Alive. Well, she doesn't really sing that one, but I did like that song a little bit. And went, wow, you know what? I really like this. And then, you know, Xanadu would pop up here and there, and I'd catch it and bought a copy and watched, you know, the song portions of the movie. And then, yeah, I mean, it all really started with I really do like the music of this movie.
But you're too embarrassed to carry the DVD through the store.
Oh, hell yeah. When I found the edition we have the Magical Musical Edition.
Yeah.
It came with a CD. I never had an official CD of it. I've just downloaded at this point from wherever, iTunes, probably even Napster way back in the day. But I never had an official CD for it. This one came with a CD. I was like, oh, I got to have this. But I walked through the store with it and made Christy carry it and pay for it.
Yeah.
All right.
I made sure to let the girl at the counter know that it was his.
She's such a joker.
This is his. This is not mine.
She's crazy. So are you saying that this, watching it for this, is the first time you've actually seen it, like, from beginning to end?
Straight through, yeah. I mean, I have seen the whole movie in pieces, but yeah, it's the first time straight through without stopping it or jumping to a part.
Okay. I think Chris and I are totally
shocked. I thought this was like you know this movie inside and out, I always thought.
Yeah.
No, not really. In fact, I knew probably the musical better than this because I've seen the musical straight through before I've seen the movie straight through.
The musical.
The musical is, yeah.
Okay.
It's a very campy musical.
It's a good musical.
Did you actually sing along to the songs during the musical?
No, but I did last night while we were watching it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Quite loudly.
Oh, God, yes.
from the comfort of my recliner.
Yeah. That's why. Okay. That's why there's only one of us that does musicals in the family.
Well, I think Chris and I were under the impression that you liked this as a young kid, and it was like you said, maybe you were embarrassed until you got a little bit older to like have the cojones to come forward and say, I like Xanadu and I don't give a crap.
Right.
Who thinks or you know, who knows?
No, I really didn't develop a liking for it till much later in life. Actually, if you want to compare it on the lifetime scale, fairly recently, actually, I guess would be a way to describe it.
Okay.
Me and Dave like both thought like this was your movie, and I was going to ask you, how can a little boy like this movie?
Well, so, there you go.
Have you seen Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She is freaking cute.
I even paused it a few times.
Did you?
For like 2 minutes.
Oh.
Two minutes? That's a long damn time.
Until I was done.
I just realized what I was saying.
And then I hit play again.
Actually, it's a sadly short amount of time.
Ooh.
Nah.
All right. Well, I had the pleasure of watching this on a DVD that Matt, like Chris said, sent us.
Yes, you did.
And the first thing I did, and I thought it was kind of neat, at least for me, because I know I hadn't really seen the movie. So I went and watched the trailer before I watched the movie.
I watched that after I saw the movie.
Okay. I figured, I haven't seen this movie. I'm going to watch the trailer as if
what am I watching here?
Was seeing a trailer in the theaters and going, ooh, what's this movie about? Unbelievable, this trailer.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just like the movie. It tells you nothing. There's nothing going on. It's a story about a girl who makes dreams come true and a love story about a boy and a girl. It's like, what? And I noticed, like, in the trailer itself, they mentioned three other movies.
Yeah.
More than they
Warriors, mentioned. Grease.
And Saturday Night Fever. They mentioned these other movies more than they mentioned their own movie. That tells you you got a problem going on. They're mentioning other movies altogether that this was supposed to be.
What did it say about him? He, like...
For her, it said, the girl you loved in Grease.
Yeah.
And then it was... Michael Beck, who thrilled you in The Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it said Gene Kelly, the greatest dancer of them all. That's a little presumptuous.
Well, true.
And he barely danced in this movie.
Yeah. And then they also mentioned Saturday Night Fever because, I don't know, I guess there was something in common with the music that was made or something.
Travolta starred in Grease and then.
I don't know.
That's it.
And I did read online that the Sonny character, Michael Beck, was supposed to be Andy Gibb.
Yeah, I saw that.
Aw, but he died.
I don't know that Andy Gibb would have made it any better.
He died before 1980?
No, I think he died in 1980.
I think really? I thought he died much later than that.
I think he died during the movie watching it.
No.
He died at the premiere of Xanadu.
Shadow dancing.
He died in 88. Oh. You know, once again, feed false information to the audience.
He died in 88. And the lights on Broadway.
All right, well, let's get into this movie.
Let's talk how it opened.
Okay, go ahead.
That was a 2-hour opening of the Universal logo.
Yeah.
And that was longer than the fucking movie.
Yeah. It was kind of good, though.
It was cool. I'd never seen the airplane, and then the other airplane, and then there's a spaceship, and then there's this, and it took forever. But I did like it, though.
Yeah, it was like updating the aircraft as it went through time.
Yeah.
That was kind of clever.
But like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, it was long. And the swing music playing in the background. So like if you think you're going to see, you know, a Grease type movie and you hear this swing music, you're already probably going, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But the movie was very 80s.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like with the lasers and the costumes and the color and the artwork and the leg warmers.
But what's weird though, it was probably filmed maybe in 79, maybe.
Right.
So it was almost so far as ahead of its time for the 80s kind of style.
Listen,
I'll go with that. Xanadu was ahead of its time. I like the way you think, Chris.
Getting a lot of compliments here.
No, it was. Hold on. We'll go on.
All right. Well, before you get too comfortable, too, this, according to what I read in the research that I did, is the reason that the Razzie Awards even exist.
Really?
Huh, Never knew that.
I didn't know they've been around that long.
Yeah. This was a part of the very first Razzie Awards, and the guy saw this movie and was like, I got to come up with something to reward the worst movies of the year. It won a Grammy, actually, in that year, and it also won a slew of Razzies in the first year of the Razzies. So
it's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Well, depends who you talk to.
I think I'm upset right now.
Ooh.
You think?
I'll let you know.
And Chris, I know that you're going to comment at this at some point, so we might as well get to it. Now, this movie was produced by two of your favorites, Lawrence Gordon and Joel Silver.
Yeah, but I think it said co-produced.
Yeah, co-produced by Joel Silver.
So that's not, you know, that's just baby steps.
Well, everybody's got to pay their dues.
That's right.
You got to cut your teeth on something.
I did see that. I was like, yeah, Joel Silver.
We've done lots of Joel Silver movies. You never thought this was going to be one of them.
And then when it was over, I was like, oh, Joel Silver.
And this Kenny Ortega guy.
Yes, which I know him a lot.
And he's like popular again because of what? Like High School Musical?
The Michael Jackson movie came out, the new Footloose.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really, Dirty Dancing, I think he did too.
Yes, he did.
So he knows his shit. And when I say shit, I mean this movie. No.
All right. So it starts in this cove and with Gene Kelly playing a clarinet.
Yeah, okay.
You're already laughing. And I swear to God, it is the cove that is in the beginning of Grease.
I was thinking that too. I remember that.
Is she contractually obligated to begin every movie in that location?
You got
to
film here. Yeah.
It's the same place.
It looks like Seinfeld.
It's the same place. All right. Well, here's my first question. Who the heck is Michael Beck?
That's what I was asking watching this, too.
He was in The Warriors.
Other than looking like Heath Ledger in some shots.
Oh, that's good. He does look like Heath Ledger.
He does.
Yeah.
I was getting Michael Wincott off of him.
Oh, yeah. I can see that, too. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like that.
I was getting Michael Winslow.
He had that thin, bony, skin-tight face.
Yeah, but he was, he was bone ugly, and he wore the shortest fucking shorts a man should fucking wear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone did in the 80s.
Maybe that's why she liked him.
It was very 80s. I just feel bad for this guy. Like, this poor bastard must have thought he had it all going on because he was in The Warriors, and then he thinks he's going to be in this movie, Olivia Newton-John, right after Grease.
Right.
And then I looked at the rest of his filmography, and he was relegated to, like, guest spots on Nash Bridges and Murder, She Wrote and Walker, Texas Ranger.
There was a quote that I read when I was reading about him, and it said, like, his career began with the Warriors and ended with Xanadu.
So that was a hell of a year for him.
Well, I kind of was pulling for Michael Beck by the end of this, I gotta say.
I was pulling for the movie to kind of be over with
yeah.
him.
Oh.
I did hit the timer count a few times.
Did you? Yeah, I did too.
I hate this show.
I actually, Luke, my son, for a little bit, you know, he'll watch anything with me. He was watching with me, and he turns to me, and he goes, and I wrote it down here in quotes, "Dad, do you have to watch all this?" And I said, "Yes, I do.
Yes, I do."
And Caitlin watched the last half an hour, and she was like, "What is this?"
And you said, "Ask Uncle
and
Matt."
And I said, "Xanadu."
Yes, please don't associate my name with that. I don't want to ruin the reputation I have with your daughter.
All right. Well, as the credits are rolling, something horrible happened to me, and I saw the words flash on the screen, Jeff Lynne and Electric Light Orchestra, and I almost quit the show. But Matt,
what?
You said you liked the music to this. I gotta hear about this.
What more can I say? I don't like the ensemble stuff. I like Magic and I like Xanadu. I can live with I'm Alive, but I don't like the ensemble stuff. Like I can't stand that 80s versus swing band thing. That's way too fucking long.
Oh boy, that is.
There are many parts.
Oh, and actually, you know what? The music. I have to say, I'll take props away from the music. And that they needed to cut those two songs out. They should have ended with Xanadu. When they kept going with those two songs, I'm like, oh, that's, now you ruined it.
Yeah, it did just keep going and going at the end.
So I guess I like two songs because I like Olivia Newton-John's voice. So really, that's probably not at all a good thing to hold this movie up to. Now you mentioned that.
What genre is this to you guys? Like, where do you, I mean, many movies are cross-categoried, if you want to call that, for different genres. But what do you call this?
Musical fantasy.
Ooh.
A fantastical.
Oh.
What about you, Chris?
I like those two.
Yeah?
Okay. It's not really like a musical, you know, musical. It's like it's a mixture of music and fantasy. I like that one.
It's okay. Like a testament to musicals. It's a testicle.
That's the funniest thing you've said on the show.
Thank you. I'll take it where I can get it.
All right. Well, Matt mentioned I'm Alive. So you really get into the plot right away. There's a mural, right, on a wall.
A real ugly mural, I think.
Well, I kind of like some of the art in this.
Yeah?
I mean, it was.
You haven't seen the stage musical version then, if you thought that was an ugly one.
Well, where are they supposed to be? Like Santa Monica? I mean, it seems like...
They're on the Santa Monica Pier. It actually, I was in the Magical Musical edition. They talked to the producer and they wanted to make film highlighting the roller skating culture of Santa Monica.
Okay. Because that was a big fad in the 80s. Roller skating. There was like Skate Town USA and there was Roller Derby on TV. I remember being little and roller skating was a big fad.
Everyone wore roller skates and had them around their necks, you know, tied with their laces together. Everyone roller skated, everybody.
Well, you didn't.
I couldn't.
Yeah, because you just went roller skating recently and you wouldn't even put them on.
I didn't put them on, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, I got a bum ankle, too, and I didn't want to chance it.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
But I could roller skate up here when it was up here on the Hatfield. I roller skated straight, hit the wall, turned around, went straight again. I'm always impressed with how people can roller skate so perfectly.
All right, well, this mural is there, and it has these women.
Mm-hmm.
And they come alive and turn into laser beams?
Glows of the light.
Okay, why do they come alive?
Because of the music. It's called I'm Alive.
Because they get his, all those pieces of paper with his lack of inspiration.
Yeah, he needed
he summoned
some
them.
Inspiration.
This was the early Forrest Gump feather. all the paper went to that dark alley.
I like that. That's pretty good. I like that analogy. Well, okay, I understand that they're the muses, and you find that out way later in the movie.
At the end, what was that a muse?
I'm watching this movie, you know, in chronological order, and I'm like, who are they? why are they coming alive? What the hell is going on? Because you're not told till much later. And it seems like there's a muse for different things. Like there's a muse for music, for maybe literature. There's a muse for dancing, which I guess is what she is. Is she the dancing muse?
She's the art muse.
Art, yeah.
Who meant art, duh.
Then no, why? I said, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so she's the art muse. Then why does she never do art or...
God, I hate to even... I can't believe I'm about to say the statement, but it's actually better explained in the musical. And that's... Would you not agree, honey?
Yes. Yeah, it definitely makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
All right, well, they're there to make dreams come true, and that's even mentioned in the trailer. So if he's an artist and she's going to make his dream come true, why is his dream fulfilled of him opening a nightclub?
He didn't know that it was his dream until she intervened.
Because he has his artistic impression upon it. I don't know.
Dave looks puzzled over there.
It's Xanadu, man.
That doesn't work on this one.
Okay.
Damn it.
That was going to be my closing argument. Xanadu, man, whatever.
And where the hell did she get the roller skates when she first came out of the mural?
Sears.
She's magic. Sears. You have to believe.
Sears and Roebuck. Okay. All right.
You have to believe it's magic, Dave. Nothing can stand in her way.
I like that. I like that a lot. And what is with the dubbing in this movie? Everybody's off.
I can't explain that other than just
bad sound guy.
It sounded like we watched I guess it wasn't behind the scenes. It was a retrospective, and there's like it's almost sounded like it was kind of like a first time crew on a lot of this stuff. Like that's why some of the framing is so weird, and Gene Kelly's legs, you don't see him when he's roller skating, and it's like just it's like almost everyone that worked on this film, and I'm just guessing from what I heard, it might have been their first time, so someone may have fucked up the sound a lot. Maybe I don't know. I see no other reason to redub unless you have an audio problem.
Okay,
because it was her voice. It's not like they put it in an English, you know, someone with a non Australian accent. She had the damn accent, so it had to be a screw up, I guess.
At first, I almost thought she was trying to do an accent, like she was trying to do a. She was trying to get rid of her Australian accent, but then it just came back.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the opposite of Kevin Costner and Robin Hood.
Oh.
I think Matt, this is Kevin Costner's Robin Hood every fucking episode.
We watched Xanadu because Matt told us to, and he's taking shots at Costner.
I'm telling
you. You're goddamn right I am.
Any opportunity.
All right. Well, I did read in the research that this movie was pretty much just written on the fly. So
no.
Maybe what Matt said about this being a first-time thing for everybody is true. They didn't have a finished screenplay, and they just kind of made it up as they went along, and I am sure none of us are surprised.
The guy that wrote it, the original script was 45 pages, and I mean, we've all done a little bit of film work, just amateur, and it's just a pretty... common thing that if you have a properly formatted script, you pretty much have a minute per page, whether you have dialogue or action. It just seems to work out that way. So this guy wrote a 45-minute movie. They had a lot of ground to make up.
And they made it up with musical numbers.
With songs, yeah.
Well, and this was – they got somebody else to rewrite it after him, and they had to rewrite it 5 times?
Ugh.
And even then, they still didn't
– even dozen.
And then they still didn't like it, but they got to the point where they had to start filming. So they just were like, okay, let's just start filming.
Well, that's pretty apparent in watching this movie.
You think this movie was like made like after Grease came out, you think this movie was written and made for her? Like this is going to be her next year?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I do think that.
Like Grease was such a big hit, we got to get her on a screen.
Something else, yeah.
It has to be built around her.
Well, they wrote it before her, and then she heard about it and wanted to be a part of it.
Huh. Oh, okay then. Never mind.
Did you not watch the same thing I watched?
I wasn't that interested. She wasn't in it.
All right. Well, let's talk about her then. I mean, I'm sure the fellas can all agree that. At least there was her in this movie, and she is especially at the end. during that Xanadu song.
And she's never looked any cuter than she does in that video, for lack of a better term.
She's adorable. She's just so precious and sweet and cute.
Precious and sweet and cute.
I mean, Grease and Physical, and even nowadays in this song.
Yeah, I actually like this song. I don't think Matt's off base when he says that there's her singing these songs, and they're really... I don't know if it's the fact that she's cute or it's a good song or whatever. When I hear it, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, but she's got a great voice.
She does.
She does.
I do have to say, though, in parts of it where she's doing like the 40s stuff, her voice doesn't really sound 40s to me, and it kind of bugs me, her voice in those.
Yeah. Well, those parts are just unfortunate for everybody that has to be in it. So, but I looked her up because, you know, like she did Grease and everybody knows that. And then this and...
Perfect. Well, or no.
No, she was Two of a Kind.
That's the one. I was getting mixed up too.
Perfect's Jamie Lee Curtis. She only has been in 16 movies. And most of those movies, and I mean like 13 of the 16... are like either straight to DVD or straight to TV movies. She's only really been in 3 studio movies. And fact that this Two of a Kind, where they felt like we have to get her and John Travolta back together, that was in 1983. That was the last real studio movie that she did.
Really?
She doesn't really have a career.
Huh. She does. I've seen her like...
She still tours.
Oh, yeah.
Recently,
she's
still
part of Australia.
So she's more of a musician than an actress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think she would say that, too, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to speak for her, of course.
Her and Kylie Minogue.
I just got word to my left that she was on episode of Glee.
Yes, she was.
Okay.
I have not seen that, but I heard that.
Okay.
She was also on an episode of The Simpsons.
All right, well... Those are not studio movies.
Bum, 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 bum.
you were not on an episode of The Simpsons, Dave.
That's true.
There you go.
I was not. And in doing the research, I didn't realize that she actually is English and moved to Australia when she was like 5 or something like that. So I always assumed she was Australian, born and raised, but she was not. She was born in England.
And there really is something about her, even when she's not singing. Mm-hmm. Just her talking and looking at it. She just looks same. She looks like a nice, nice girl to talk to.
Just don't date her. You'll disappear.
Ooh,
oh, wow. Shit. I forgot about that part. Yeah.
That's a good point, though.
It is. What the fuck happened?
I don't know.
I want answers.
You want answers? Is it current affair?
Wow, you reached in the back one for that one. A current affair?
That's right.
Boom.
Mopo, baby.
Mopo.
All right. Well, and we also have to talk about Gene Kelly.
Because go ahead.
This to me, I think it's important. Because Gene Kelly, who I read only really seemed to do this movie because it was close to his house.
He lived next door. Yeah, I saw that.
And he could get there easy every day. He is so happy.
He is. Now, I'm going to say this. I've never seen a movie with Gene Kelly at all. Mm-hmm. Singing in the Rain and whatever he's done in the past and Dancing Away, nothing. Seeing this movie, and you're right, he seems so nice and so always happy. I like him. I almost want to see what he did to make him who he was.
Okay.
Oh, God. Can we please videotape Chris watching a Gene Kelly movie?
What the hell is this?
Yeah, true. Where's Joe Silver at?
That would be funny.
Where's an explosion?
He does seem just like a nice guy. He seems so... Aw, look at him.
He is very cute.
I didn't say that.
He's very happy. And I looked him up too, just like you. You know, like I wouldn't say we're young anymore, but we're certainly not of the Gene Kelly generation. Right. I looked him up, and to me, he's done nothing but Singing in the Rain. And it seems like in old-timey Hollywood, you had to do, as long as you did one movie that was good, you were a star forever. Because I looked at his filmography.
Anything else?
Oh, I don't. I mean, it's just like a bunch of old garbage. And
he
I don't
did American
know.
In Paris, didn't he? Oh, no, that was...
Yeah, I think that was him.
Fred Astaire.
No, that was him, I think.
Was he on Glee?
He died way before Glee.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you guys like old movies, but I am from the school of thought, and some people may say this is narrow-minded, but I am from the school of thought that everything old sucks.
Yeah. You are pretty narrow-minded then, Dave.
Then put me on that boat.
Well, I already knew that.
I'm third on the list.
I don't want to see Gene Kelly. I don't want to see him with an umbrella dancing in the rain. It's stupid, okay? The only things that are good that are old are the Three Stooges and High Noon. And once you get past that stuff, I don't want to see Gene Kelly then, now, or anytime, because to me, he was a great dancer. I don't get it.
But did you see him skate and go, pow, like all three times? Pow!
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
So, Christy, you like old movies?
Yes, I do.
Why?
She seems smart, and she understands that shit. We don't.
I understand that they're horribly boring.
No, they're not. You have to be in the mood for it.
No, I'm
and
never.
And fair in, to what, remember.
Suffering insomnia?
No. Yeah.
I'm never in the mood to be bored. You can't make me sit down and watch Casablanca. All these movies that people say, oh, it's a great movie.
Go with the Wind?
Oh, come on. It's a classic. You got to be kidding me.
I know.
I ain't watching Gene Kelly do nothing.
Well, then that leaves more Gene Kelly movies for the rest of us.
Okay. Well, then we're of differing viewpoints, but to me...
Yes, mine is quality, yours is shit.
Ooh. I like that. If it happened before 1960, it probably sucks.
60, I would say like 75 or something.
I got that's just the way I feel, you know? I mean, I'm allowed to feel that way.
You're allowed to feel that way, but you're still wrong.
Ooh. You know, I go down to Disney World sometimes, and you guys are very close, and I go on the Great Movie Ride, which is a...
The thing is, I only do that when I need to sit down.
I do like that ride because you get to go through some cool stuff, like Aliens and Raiders of the Lost Ark. But to get to Aliens and Raiders of the Lost Ark, you have to go through dancing in the singing in the rain and the...
You do realize that there are children that think that stuff is boring, too.
Well, then they're wrong. Well, then they're wrong.
And you have to go through that stupid gangster fake thing. Hey, see, I'm taking over this ride. See?
Yeah,
you
see?
All sit back and enjoy this while I get out of here. See?
Yeah, see?
That ride sucks.
The ride sucks, see?
Have you ever been on that ride, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, okay.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, I like the ride. I just don't like the parts with the old movies in it.
Well, I know my wife sitting right next to me here is a huge fan of all those crappy yawners, Gone with the Wind and Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
That's a great new podcast, Crappy Yawners with Chris. Make him watch these old movies and just
oh,
tape
Christ.
Them.
Christ. Nah.
Crappy Yawners. I love that.
It was not made by Joel Silver or Richard Donner.
This was made by Joel Silver.
Oh, yeah, it was co-produced on Me Anything.
He had a lot to do with it. He's the one that got Gene Kelly in the movie.
He like picked him up from his house and drove him back to the place.
In a golf cart because he's right next door.
Yeah.
All right. Well, not to get back on topic because that would be unfortunate. But back to Xanadu. We got the Gene Kelly. And it was like I read all this stuff and it's like everybody was like, oh, we got to get a scene with Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John dancing. We got to have it. So they had this closed set. They wouldn't let anyone on the set. They didn't want anyone to see it. You know, it was like, oh, the only person allowed in is the cameraman. And
cameraman, director of photography, and the producer.
And Kenny Ortega.
And well, that. Yeah.
Why did it, to me, seem so creepy? How old was she?
That's a good question because I want to ask you about this. Like, I assume that, you know, because he recognized her and she was in the big band stuff, that the same thing happened to him as a young man that's happening to Sonny. Is that
yes.
right? So,
yes.
So he was in love with her, you know, I don't know, 40
in
years.
In the 40s.
Okay. 40 years before this happened. So well, they're both in love with the same woman. Is that what's going on? But now he's old, so she doesn't care about him.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh my God.
I actually, look at this. What do I have written down here? I said,
sloppy seconds.
Is Kira Gene Kelly's sloppy seconds? What are your thoughts?
Sloppy, messy seconds.
Oh. I mean, what's the deal? I mean,
I'm not even going to acknowledge that statement.
Why? I think it's a valid point.
How old was he and how old is she? And they're dancing and it just seems
Well, she
creepy.
Was 32, which actually I find quite surprising.
So, for real, I didn't think he was that old.
If I'm doing the math right, 80 minus 48 is 32.
Jeez, wow, okay.
She was born in 1948, yeah.
He was 80?
No.
No.
Pay attention, Dave.
She was...
I was like, he looked damn good for 80.
No, he wasn't 80.
He was 68? Yeah, 68. She was 32, he was 68.
Oh my God.
I think when we hit 68, we'll be like, oh, what's wrong with that?
Right.
Yeah, but we won't look that good. He looked pretty good for, I guess, 68.
You got a man crush on Gene Kelly, don't you?
I don't know. He's
wow, you don't know. That's
he kept on smiling at me.
You could have given me.
He kept on smiling at me and going, pow, Chris. Pow, Chris. I do like him. He was really nice to look at.
Ooh.
Wow.
I don't know who.
Holy crap.
I don't know who was cuter, her or him.
Her, stupid.
That's interesting. All right, well, then there's other stuff going on. It's not just that. Olivia Newton-John, Kira, and Sonny have this long montage of them skating, where at one point they're actually flying.
Yes.
Which is weird because he's not even singing it. It has nothing to do with this movie.
No. A lot of the scenes in this movie aren't really a movie. They're just an exercise in like set design.
Is this the part where part of it goes animated?
No, that's coming.
Okay.
I mean, you want to talk about that now?
Don Bluth.
Don Bluth.
I mean, the scenes like this, like Kirstie said, like this thing where they dance to Suddenly, which to me is just such an AM Gold hit. Yeah. I remember listening to this as a kid and just being like, what the hell is this?
That's funny you mentioned that. This song is, to me, way out of place. It's like, this song sounds like it's 20 years too old for this movie.
Yeah, it does. It is a little bit out of place. But so is his no-collar button-down shirt.
Yeah, I'll do
that. So, there's a lot of filler to me in this movie. Like you said, it was 45 minutes of a movie. They had to fill time.
Yep.
So they had them skating to this, to just a bunch of different set designs. There was this animated thing. You know, it was just like some generic Disney-esque woman. That Chris is right, it was Don Bluth. Like, most of this movie is filler. And I actually wrote this down. Like Matt said this. I said, right, wrote this down. The movie is really only about 40 minutes long.
Yeah. You know what's frustrating about this movie is that now, like I said, watching it all the way through in sequence, it moves really, really quick until they get to the club, and then it just fucking drop dead stops.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also that one that Matt was talking about, how much he hates, where Sonny and Davey, who is Gene Kelly, look at this club, and there's this long 80s versus 40s montage.
Yes.
With the tubes, right?
The tubes, yeah.
And at that point, I am so checked out of it. Like, there are long set pieces, no plot, no filler. Like, usually in musicals, the songs are part of the plot.
Right.
And that isn't happening here. I mean, I would love to talk about plot points. Like, that's my job on this show. But it's impossible. What is the conflict in this movie?
Trying to stay awake?
Yeah.
That's funny. Although...
I'm 2 for 2!
You are. You're on fire.
Ha!
The one after this that I love, I have to admit this. It's immediately become one of my favorite scenes in any movie I've ever seen.
Good.
Is the Gene Kelly fashion show.
Oh my God, really?
With the all over the world, and I hate ELO. But I watched it twice. And I was smiling. And
I think you like Gene Kelly now.
I think I do.
Oh my God.
I won't watch his crap, but I like him.
I loved it. It's possibly one of the most uncomfortable scenes in any movie I've ever seen. Him trying on all the different like 80s clothes. And I watched it twice. I loved the scene. It got me back into the movie, actually. But it's more filler.
Yes, it is. Oh, a montage. I mean, come on. What is a montage other than filler?
That's true.
This was the early Rocky training montage.
Oh God, why do we have to go back to that?
Well, that movie's good.
So you liked the scene too?
I laughed a lot.
What did you laugh at? Trying on the clothes?
Yeah, how he came out looking all, you know, cool for his age, I guess. All the bright colors, and then later on, pow!
You like that part, huh?
I did.
All right. Well, you actually get a little bit of plot after that. She tells Sonny that she's a muse, but she wasn't supposed to fall in love with him, and she broke the rules or something, and he's all mad. I mean, what is he mad at? I mean, he's known him for 2 days.
He's mad that he's in this movie.
He sees his career slipping.
He's mad, as soon as they say, it's a wrap, his job's over for life.
Like, is the plot of the movie, like, I know it's about dreams coming true, is it like, at that point, is his dream dead and that's the plot of the movie? What's the plot of the movie? Somebody please tell me.
I think his dream was, and he didn't know it, was to be free, fun-loving, do what he wanted, but he was under the thumb of his dickhead manager painting these album covers he didn't like. And it took her intervention to realize, hey, you don't need to make a living to have a life. Go open this club with this old singing dude, and you're going to be so goddamn happy.
And that's the plot.
I have no fucking idea.
Okay.
It sounded like a decent idea, though.
It does sound like a decent idea. I'm willing to go with it because we got nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
And she goes back into the painting. He skates through the wall.
Yeah, that effect was awesome.
You know what's weird is that when Caitlin came downstairs and I saw him looking at the wall, pacing, and I go, is he gonna like run in at that wall and dive in it? And guess what he did?
Yep,
he did that.
Exactly. And I was like, What?
Well, it looks like he skates into Tron.
Okay, yeah, I said that too.
Like, I wanted a recognizer to come down and blow him away, like. But you know, like, they open the club and they got the big opening night, and Chris's favorite scene, you got Gene Kelly on skates.
Pow! And I went to like 3 split screens.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't that crazy?
And the first time I was like, that was cool. And then there were 2 of them doing it, and I said, shit. And there were 3, and I said, pow, pow, pow.
And don't forget the mimes, the jugglers, and the karate guys.
Of course, yeah.
And the acrobats. And everybody knows.
It's like they called a local talent agency and said, hey, we're looking for anything. Just send people over.
We need ninjas, acrobats. Do you got them?
And everybody knows the official dance and theme song.
Yeah, I know.
The
off
club.
The bat, yeah.
And then she comes up, and like we said,
amazing. Never looked cuter.
How gorgeous is she there?
Love her.
And she does. But at that point, Matt's right. Like, no one says a line of dialogue in that movie for like 10 minutes.
That's okay.
It's the roller skating and the pow. And then she does like a rock song.
Yeah.
And then she does a country song.
And every outfit was different.
And then it's back to Xanadu again.
They needed to cut those 2 songs out or cut them down. That really ruined it for me.
It's like no one says anything forever.
Nope.
And she disappears.
Yes.
Okay, then I became incredibly confused again.
Where'd she go?
Where did she go?
She went back to Mount Olympus or wherever the hell she's from.
But why?
She went back to hang out with Dr. Goodfellow from Buck Rogers. That was the voice of Zeus or whatever her father was, Dr. Goodfellow from Buck Rogers.
Okay.
Beady, beady, beady.
Beady, beady,
beady, beady, beady.
I did not know that.
Different character.
Well, like, all right, so she disappears, and Gene Kelly gets him a drink, and this girl brings it to him, like, and it's her face. Is that her?
It's her.
Is it?
Yes, it's her.
Oh.
I think it was, because didn't she...
Oh, wait a minute. It's like a Little Mermaid thing. Maybe Zeus sent her back to Earth, but erased her memory.
Didn't she ask him, like, you know, I love him, blah, 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 and then whatever the husband and wife above said, yeah, let's do it. And they let her go almost. They said...
You go, Chris.
Goodbye. I actually did. As soon as when I drank and the girl came over, I go, Caitlin, that's her. I was like so involved. I said, that's her.
That's her.
Has to be her. And all of a sudden, bam, pow, that was her.
So boy, you're saying.
Good day, mate.
You're saying that was actually her, but Zeus.
Let her go from whatever she was up there.
And we're supposed.
Human.
And we're supposed to just assume all that.
Yes.
Damn right.
Well, if.
We wrote it better than the writer did in our minds.
I was gonna say, I don't know.
Because the guy Zeus said something and his wife said something to like almost saying like let her go. He said okay.
That's horrible.
And that, no, I think it wasn't like a mermaid kind of thing.
That's a horrible ending.
Love it.
Like I don't think it's her.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's a coincidence.
Nah. Of all the bars, of all the roller skating rings in the world, it's her.
If it's not her, if that is her, what was she just effing with him when she disappeared?
I think she went up there to ask. I love him. Can I become an earthling or whatever it's called?
Dr. Goodfellow said, okay, but you'll have no memory of your godlike powers. Yeah. And there she went down as a human and had erased all her memories of what just happened.
Yeah.
But you're assuming all of that.
You're assuming that she was fucking with him. What's the difference?
Listen, when Superman gave up his powers for Lois Lane,
oh god,
he still knew that he was Superman, and then he got beat up in that diner.
He wasn't a god; he was an alien.
He's a god.
He's my god.
Because Sonny acts like he knows it's not her, and he just starts like macking on this waitress, and it took him all of 45 seconds to move on from Kira to this other girl, which you're
that's saying, her.
But he,
the 80s, man.
But you're assuming that she has had her mind wiped like C-3PO. And
oh, my.
And why must it come back to that all the time?
Because it does.
It's everywhere.
And then you're also assuming that Sonny knows that, too.
Yes.
No.
He's smart.
I'm not assuming that. I'm not assuming Sonny knows that. I could more assume that Zeus wiped his memory too. Just did a reset on the whole damn thing that had anything to do. Anything that had to do with a muse was now erased from history.
It was a Spock mind meld.
Because she was made into a human. Therefore, that past never existed, so he has no memory of it because it didn't happen.
Yes. Okay. Matt is right.
I
think you are giving way too much credit.
Shut up.
I think that's not her. And this guy is a prick. And he, 45 seconds later, starts macking on another girl that happens to look like her because he's talking to her like he just met her.
Not at all.
You're assuming that, too.
Well, just the way they're talking. You can tell. It's a getting-to-know-you kind of conversation.
That because he has no memory of this Kira chick. This is a new person to him.
So not only are you... You're saying not only was her memory wiped, but his
was
as
well?
No,
not her memory. Her existence as a god was wiped. Ergo, none of that ever actually happened.
So you're saying the only thing that actually happens in this movie is the last 45 seconds?
Pretty much.
Yes! Oh, my God.
That has to do with her.
My mind has been blown.
And then he was afterwards.
It was magic.
Have to believe it was magic, Dave.
Wow.
Nothing can stand in our way.
If that's true...
You like this movie, don't you?
Then all we had to do was watch the last 45 seconds.
That's all I did.
So it's a movie really about a guy getting a drink and chatting up some girl.
Pretty much.
Okay. I like that.
With Gene Kelly roller skating.
This is very avant-garde. Pow! And this Greenwald guy went on to do nothing else but documentaries. I mean, this thing scared him off of movies so much that he just started doing all kinds of documentaries.
They probably should have.
All right. Well, I'm glad we had this debate because...
You know what's weird for this movie that everyone makes fun of and maybe, you know, one of the worst movies ever made? This was the best debate on the Grady's ever.
Thank you,
man. That's
Matt.
Right. That's why I was sitting on it for 2 years. Yeah, right.
Thought it was... You were sitting on it because you liked the way it felt under your ass.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that.
Olivia eating John in my ass.
Chris just walked in the room.
Blown your mind.
And then?
That's as far as that goes.
All right. Let's go through this, the four of us, and hear our final thoughts. Now, for Chris and I, at least, this is only going to be one review. But yes, for Matt and Christy, I want to hear your initial review versus your review for this film. Out of 5 stars, we're going to save Matt for last. Chris, would you like to go first?
I'll be happy to.
Okay, because we'll save them for last, because their opinions I'm much more interested in than ours.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Total.
Okay, let's hear it.
Olivia Newton-John, gorgeous, fantastic. Gene Kelly, pow! that guy was nice. He was good. He was something about him. I was like, wow, like I want to watch more of his shit. I probably won't.
No.
But it was interesting. I love all the songs. I love her. The movie was boring as hell and stupid, blah, 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 blah. But I can't give it nothing. No stars, because it wasn't that bad. I'm giving it 1.5 stars.
Okay.
Because, you know, I can't give it a 3 or a 4.
So you're saying this is better than Tron?
The original Tron, yes. God, yes.
Really?
Yes. Maybe if Jeff Bridges looked as hot as, you know, I don't even mean John did.
All right, so 1.5.
1.5.
Out of 5.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
No, because, you know, I can't give it a 2. It's okay. Not that good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go next. And our reviews are sort of similar. Like, to me, it's not the worst thing we've done on this show. Probably DC Cab is the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I did like the music, like Matt said. I liked her.
Gene Kelly?
Gene Kelly was cute. I loved the Gene Kelly fashion show. I can totally see myself watching this again one day. And now that Matt sent us a DVD, Chris and I are going to share it week to week. We're going to 1 week at his house, 1 week at my house.
Take turns.
Like, I get why Matt is into it. It's become a cult classic. It's one of those things that it's so bad, it's good. No, don't get me wrong. It's horrible. This movie is absolutely horrible. But I was entertained by it. And after having a day in between seeing it and talking about it now, it was kind of sticking with me. And I don't know if you guys are Seinfeld fans. There's like the George Costanza thing where he like gets in a girl's head and then she thinks about it. Costanza. This was like Xanadu for me. And I had it in my head and I really couldn't shake it. So I kind of get where Matt's coming from, but I'm not going to go too much higher than Chris, but I am going to give it a 2.
Okay.
A 2 out of 5. That's my review, and that's respectable.
Now, in the past, when you download these songs off of iTunes from the other shows,
yes,
do you erase them?
If it's horrible, yes.
These songs right now playing, will you keep them?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will keep this, and it'll come up right after, like, you know, like the most offensive rap music you've ever heard, Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
So... All right, Christy, let's hear your dual review.
All right. Probably when I was a kid, I would have given it like a 4 because I was a huge Olivia Newton-John fan. I had the greatest hits. I had the fashion. I totally idolized her. So I would have to say that, yes, I probably would have given it like a 5 when I was a kid.
Wow.
When I was a kid. Now I have to say, watching it again, it lost me pretty big time in some sections. In fact, at some point, Matt asked me if I was snoring because I fell asleep.
She did.
I did. And so I have to say, the musical parts for me, Matt and I were talking about it. I said, it's pretty much like it's a whole bunch of music videos. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, have you ever seen Give My Regards to Broad Street?
Broad Street?
Broad Street. It's a Paul McCartney movie. But pretty much...
Was it made before 1960?
No, it wasn't. It was made in the 80s.
Oh, Dave. How about that one?
Okay.
Someday I may subject you to them. But pretty much it's like a whole... It's not really a plot, but it's some way to try and unite all these songs, and it doesn't quite work. And as an adult to watch it, it doesn't quite work, but I appreciate the campiness of it. I think I probably would have appreciated a little less if we hadn't seen the musical, because then it's just kind of bizarrely funny. So I would probably give it about a 2 now. Right. Just because if I could fast forward through the crap and get straight to the music, I'd enjoy it.
Okay, so you're fast forwarding through. Where are you stopping? You just on every song or like...
No, just on... I actually like ELO.
Mm-hmm.
I like me some synthesized music. I liked Electric Dreams, so... I'm the one person that liked that movie. So yeah, I would probably stop it not at the like the 40 stuff I didn't care for, but the just some of the other stuff I did. And I didn't like the forget about the blues, that the 80s 40s thing I didn't care for, but I do like the Olivia Newton-John stuff and especially the ELO stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that scene that Matt was talking about that you're talking about now with the 80s versus 40s, that was probably the worst part of the movie.
It was way too long.
Yeah. And I just remember watching, like when we were younger, even in high school, the Traveling Wilburys came out, and it was like Jeff, it was like all these great guys, like these historic musicians, and Jeff Lynne. And I remember being like, who does this guy think he is? He can hang out with George Harrison and Bob Dylan and these guys. And to me, like, he was just like a glom on kind of guy that, to me, every time I'd see George Harrison after that, he was like always there, like glomming on George Harrison. And it pissed me off for some reason, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that went from a 5 to a 2.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think that's still that's a fair review.
Pow!
All right, Matt, let's hear it.
All right. Well, I guess I since I'd never actually watched it from beginning to end in one sitting, I think my assumption was that I would rate it a 4, like because all my memories of it were pleasant, of the music and the video, and of course Olivia Newton-John. Now sitting through it. Oh man, I'm not gonna sit here and lie or even make a joke of it. It's got some serious problems. It's bad. It's like I said, it starts off pretty fast paced. I'm like, I was actually impressed how fast the story is moving, but they hit that club and man, it just stops. It's like, it's on a lifeline then for the next freaking hour and it just will not die. So, but I do still like the music. I still will listen to the music. Xanadu and Magic are in many of my playlists, even for working out and running. And I will probably watch at least the end video, not including the two songs of the reprise, but just Xanadu and probably the magic scene again. So I'm with Chris. I can't give it nothing, or I can't even really give it as low as Chris did. I have to give it a 2 because the music for me, at least parts of the music still hold up. Not all of it. If it was all of it, I'd probably go 2.5 or 3, but I'll give it a 2 for the music that I still do love and probably will continue to love for a long time from the movie.
Wow. That was amazing. We all basically came up with the same score.
It is. Matt's right. It is the music that makes this movie good for what it is, you know, it's worth.
I don't think that's ever happened before. We all said basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Would you watch this movie, Matt, if it was like remade today with, you know?
Yeah, I probably would to see what they do. Just
chances are it will be.
Hell yeah.
Out of interest, I think I would, yeah. I mean, like I said, we've said several times, Christy and I saw the musical.
Sorry.
I would love to hear a podcast of just the two of you reviewing the musical.
Oh, God, it was horrible.
And the podcast.
It was a good horrible. It was very campy. And Kira weighed like 200 pounds.
The casting was a little off.
Oh, that's not good.
She couldn't roller skate.
Well, that's a key part. Yeah, that's a key rule.
At one point, she was laying on the floor and they were skating over her because she couldn't do any tricks.
She was out of breath. She's like, hey, Goblin of Magic. Let me send her away.
Have to leave for magic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. It was bad.
That was a great bad, though.
And the worst part is we had to sit in the front row.
We had to sit in the front row.
And so I kept kicking him.
I bought the cheapest tickets possible, but no one was there, so they put us in the front row. And the second that music hit, it was like, you know, the I'm Alive, it's like, you know, 6 people singing. None of them were singing the same goddamn note. So it's like, boom, and she kicks me so hard to shin as a warning not to break out laughing.
I couldn't even look at him because we'd start laughing because it was so
bad. And then they're roller skating past us, and they're putting their hands out. Like, you know, the audience would put their hands out to touch the performers. They're trying to touch us. And Chrissy's like, Elvin, put your fucking hand out so they'll stop trying to reach us.
I actually saw somebody who was in
I
it.
I wanted to see it again. I really did.
He really did.
We have to see this again.
I actually was at work and I saw one of the guys that was in it. I was like, oh, hey. It was probably like a few days after we saw it. And I was like, oh, hey, you were in Xanadu. He goes, oh, yeah. And I said, I saw it. I said, oh, I saw it. And he goes, I'm sorry. I said,
it was phenomenal.
Yeah, me too.
But you know what, though? Honestly, though, there's really two things to judge. The story was actually really good. What they took from the movie, they made a lot more sense out of it. But then there's the second review of the badness of the production, which was just, it was so horrible. It was great.
I think, Chris, if that ever comes up here, you and I should go check it out.
Done.
You should.
if a community theater ever does it, you have to check it out.
Let's wear the most shortest shorts.
There won't be any shorter than Sunny's shorts.
Sunny's shorts.
This was anything to judge it by.
You guys remember the girl selling lemonade, I think, or something?
Oh, yeah. She was all decked out.
Did you see her shorts?
I
didn't think she was wearing shorts.
That was like some serious wedgie time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool to see the 80s stuff in the movie.
Yeah, it was.
If you're hankering for an 80s experience, fast forward through the 40s stuff and enjoy the 80s-ness, because it was a lot.
They were interviewing the costumer and a lot of the dancers, and the thing was is that she was using a lot of stuff that was in the clubs at the time, so like the Cavaricci stuff and the leg warmers. Mm. That was all stuff that was like cutting edge and hadn't really hit mainstream until this movie came out.
Well, I hope Matt feels good that we've finally done this on the show, and I gotta say I'm glad that we did
it. It's behind us. Oh.
It wasn't as bad as we all thought it could have been. Maybe.
Yeah, and maybe that's the thing with you when you see any movie. If you go in thinking it's going to be horrible, and then it's just a little bit horrible, you're pleasantly surprised. So maybe that was what was going on too. But I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah.
And so I will watch it again.
Me first.
I get it this week.
Fight for it.
All right. We're going to move on to our top five segment of the show. And Matt also chose our top five segment where each of us will list our top five movies that feature music.
Which is everything out there.
Well, to me, the way I took this, we probably all took it our own way, but to me, it either had to be about music. Music had something to do with the plot. It was a musical. I mean, music. It wasn't just like we did our soundtracks before, and Chris had pointed that out. But to me, this was like stuff where like music was a central part of the movie. So I'm interested to see how we all took it. And we're going to start with Christy. Christy, what is your top five movies that feature music?
Well, this is actually it was actually a fun category for me to figure out because I love musicals.
Yep.
Yeah. So anytime that people will just break into song for absolutely no reason just makes me happy. So my number five is one that I used to watch all the time when I was a kid. And actually, anytime I've seen it, I should probably own it at some point. I just haven't gotten motivated to look for it. Would be Rex Harrison in Dr. Doolittle, the original Dr. Doolittle, which was a musical.
Was that made before 1960?
No.
What year is that made?
Probably in the 70s.
Dave?
I prefer Eddie Murphy.
This is the world of Dr. Doolittle. Oh, it was so cute. My number four is not the original, but the sequel. Grease 2.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Reproduction. Oh, yeah. Anytime that movie comes on, I make sure I get to that point and I crank it up.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I had to have at least one Disney movie on here, but it is not a full animated feature. It is something that I warped my VHS tape when I was a kid. And I made, anytime I would babysit or something, I would make the kids watch it too. It was Pete's Dragon.
Oh. I used to watch it a lot too. That was something else.
Pete's Dragon was one of my favorite movies, especially like there. Once in a while, I'll think of things like, we done had our bath in May. You know, that different things like that. The Gogans and that whole idea that they were treating this little kid like he was their personal slave and it took an animated dragon and Helen Reddy and Mickey Rooney to free him. You know, it's still I can remember all these little snippets, and as soon as I found it on sale, the special edition DVD came out, I had to get it. My number two is Julie Andrews' movie, but it is not Sound of Music. It is Victor Victoria. Mm. I love that movie. Just it's the whole thing of her going crossing genders and pretending she's a male singer, pretending to be a female crossdresser or drag queen, drag king, I don't know. And James Garner in that movie just makes me giggle. So they're all of those characters, just I've always loved that movie. And my number one has to be a Christopher Guest movie, because I think I am somehow obligated to say that. Is A Mighty Wind. This movie I love so much that one of Matt's friends borrowed it, and I asked him every single week, when is it being returned?
Yeah.
When is this movie? I do not see it in the case. Where is this movie? He needs to give it back right now.
It's a good movie.
It's a darn good movie. And to the point where it was one of the few movies that we went out and got the soundtrack on CD.
And it's about folk music of all things.
Yeah. And but it's fake folk music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it's like, you listen to the words and you're like, this is absurd.
Do you and Matt sing Kiss at the End of the Rainbow together?
No.
No. We did win the music.
We saw Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, and Michael McKean do an unplugged Spinal Tap show at the Hard Rock, and Annette O'Toole came on stage, and her and Michael McKean sang that song. That was pretty cool.
That's cool. I was going to ask Chris if he knew that Clark's mom.
I did know that. Yeah.
Was married to Christopher Guest, and that she wrote.
To Michael McKean.
Or to Michael McKean, sorry. And she was nominated, I remember, for an Oscar for that song.
Well, he was on Smallville one time, I think, as
Perry White.
Yeah, it's Perry White. You're right. Yeah.
Michael McKean was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I remember after seeing Best in Show, it was like when that was coming out, I was so excited to see that when it came out. And the music was really good.
It was for folk music, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not even for folk music, but just music in general, yeah.
Well, you just think about it. Especially, I just remember, because I'm one of the people that watch all the special features on a DVD.
Yes.
Including the commentary.
Oh, man.
And I listened to Eugene Levy and Christopher Guest doing their commentary on it. And it's just, they always have had a love of music, and they try to find little ways to put ironic twists in their music. But with Mighty Wind, they actually involved the gentleman that plays the lead singer of the new Main Street Singers. And he made like a 15-part harmony out of all those songs where you had the huge group. He got to actually have a chance to, you know, arrange them. And so it was like a new, fresh, it was like an added layer of harmonies on top of the funny words and everything. So that's my love of Mighty Wind.
That's cool. Are you talking about that guy, John Michael Higgins or whatever his
name
is?
Yes.
He did that again, and I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan. I know you guys aren't, but in The Breakup, he did that again with he had a singing group called the Tone Rangers. And he did this thing about, you know, like they did all this. It was like an a cappella group, and he did all the singing and the arranging. It was the same kind of thing. Like, so he must be like one of these multi-talented guys. He's hilarious in both those movies, really.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only reason I right test track at Epcot.
That's right. He is all that, isn't he?
Yep.
I love that guy. Every time I see him, I'm like, I know at least he'll be good. Well, very cool.
I only saw one of those on your top five list.
What, Grease 2?
You got it.
Reproduction.
I always forget Pete's Dragon. And isn't there another dragon movie? Disney one?
Disney Dragon?
No, yeah. Is there like another Puff the Magic Dragon? Is that one?
Well, that's
no, that's
about,
not Disney.
That's Peter, Paul, and Mary, and it's about pot.
I didn't see that one then. Okay. Then maybe I saw Peter Dragon, maybe, I guess, back then as a kid.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was in like a lull for Disney. But yeah.
It was around the same time as like the Apple Dumpling Gang and all those movies.
Yeah, all the Don Knotts Disney movies.
And the Talking Horse, is that one of them?
Last Flight of Noah's Ark.
The Incredible Flying Oddball.
Well, we should do a whole Disney, Disney retrospective.
Obscure Disney films.
That's right. Condor Man.
Oh, I love that movie.
Escape the Witch Mountain.
All right, Chris, what is your top five greatest movies music?
Okay, this isn't the greatest movies. This is the top five. These are five that I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a lot more out there I missed.
Yes.
Like Grease 2. Now, there's no order, but I guess number five. I wasn't a big fan of the movie, but I really do like the music. And now, bear with me here.
We always do.
The Doors. I love the music.
Oh, okay.
And Val was, is always awesome back, when he made skinny movies.
Skinny movies.
Before he ate Val Kilmer.
Oh. I'm kind of shocked you have that on there, too.
I have a background to this one. Guess which one of my family loved the Doors?
Your mom?
And we went together and saw it.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least you were of age to see an R-rated movie.
Right.
So that must have been comfortable when he whipped his dick out on that one scene.
That's what Dave said.
Yeah, when he was getting blown by Meg Ryan while he was recording Touch
what
Me.
What year was that? Like early 90s or something?
Yeah, you were old enough, but still kind of uncomfortable.
To watch with your mother, yeah.
Yeah, so. who doesn't do that?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. All right, what's number four?
Number four is, I'm going to be totally honest here. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah.
But I do have its soundtrack, and it's probably one of the best singers ever made. is Purple Rain. I think it was just, every song on that soundtrack is probably fantastic.
But you've never seen the movie?
No.
How can you put it on the list?
Because it's Purple Rain and it's Prince, man.
Because it's Prince, man.
I thought that argument didn't work in this episode.
Only for Xanadu.
Oh, okay.
He said Xanadu.
I did. Xanadu. I did. Every song's good.
It is. That is a horrible movie, though.
That's probably why I never seen it.
Oh, man.
That is Under the Cherry Moon.
I never saw that. I never saw that one. All right. Now, if you know me, I love the soundtrack. I love the first movie. I just met the actor who played him.
Yeah. I love this movie.
This movie is this. Sounds coming out, nothing is real. Oh, I love this movie. I love Eddie and the Cruisers. This is probably one of my favorite movies featuring music. This should be actually, I guess, number one, but it's not. Part two is the worst. Part two
horrible.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Part two is terrible.
But John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, fantastic.
Totally. Who's the band who sings in Roadhouse? What band's
Jeff
that?
Healey Band.
Jeff Healey Band.
Because I like that band too. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's what was that one? Three.
Number three, Eddie and the Cruisers, John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
All right, now this one I know has to be on Dave's list. Should be. It better be.
What is that?
It's systematic. It's hydromatic.
Who doesn't like Grease?
Watch Grease the Lightning.
Apparently, yeah. Christy.
Chrissy? I like Grease.
Oh.
Yeah, but I guess you're more...
I just like Grease 2.
I guess you're... Yeah, Grease 2. Grease 2, though, is the Grease 1.
See, the reason I like Grease 2 better is that Grease is an actual musical, whereas Grease 2 was just pretty much made for a bad movie.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. Are you...
How bad can it be?
Yeah.
Are you... All right. If you had a chance, one night only, to hang out with Travolta or Zemed...
Zemed.
Ooh.
For real?
I think he's probably a little less weird.
Hmm.
Okay. Zemed wouldn't try to change her into a Scientologist.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
And Zemed had to be on T.J. Hooker with Shatner and Locklear, so there's probably quite a good story.
Number one.
Should stay.
Why are you laughing?
I am.
Why?
Your way.
Now, if you know me and Matt was up here,
yeah,
I'd sung this song pretty darn well during karaoke.
There's only one good version of the song, and it was sung by Chris at Hobos.
I love, now, this is a lot of reasons. I love Whitney Houston. Still do.
Of course, makes perfect sense.
I love Kevin Costner.
That statement just doesn't even sound right.
No, this is one of my, I love this movie. And I love Whitney Houston. And she passed away.
Are you okay?
I'm all right. Christy, are you a fan of this movie or no?
No, I am not. I'm sorry.
Not at all?
No, not really.
Well, this song is not meant for you then.
Okay.
You sang this song
you
to
Christy.
You
sang a song for me.
Yeah, I did.
What song was that? Without You.
Yeah, that was Michael Bolton.
I can hardly believe it.
Yeah, you've always been.
I heard the news today.
You've always been a big Bodyguard fan.
Oh, I love that movie. I haven't watched it since she died because I know I'll be on the fucking carpet bawling.
Why?
I lost Whitney Houston.
You didn't know her.
No, I didn't.
All right. Well, Costner's good anyway.
Oh, yeah,
he is good.
Fucking amazing.
Matt, is there a Kevin Costner film at all that you like?
Yeah, Waterworld.
The Big Chill.
that's a good one.
That's horrible.
That was horrible.
All right. Well, your list was. I mean, that to me was predictable, but there's a couple on there I did not expect.
Doors.
Yeah, especially that.
This list was hard for me because Matt really made it a point, like no John Williams, no themes, and that's what I usually like and listen to.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, very good. I'm going to go next. And my list, I agree totally with Christy. This to me was maybe the most fun I've had doing any of these lists. I have, how many things do I have on here, Chris? 60?
Yeah.
I got like 60 things on a list. I just kept going and going and going, and I numbered them.
Do you look online to see like movies, or you just come up with all your head?
No, these are all things I just came
up with.
That's
amazing. It really fucking is.
I love this kind of stuff. And I mean, whether I like Xanadu or not, it was worth it to be able to make this list. It was
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. It was a lot of fun to make, so much so that... I have my top five. I'm willing to, just for shits and giggles, to put the rest of my list on our Facebook page. Just why the hell not?
You should.
Because I already did all this work. I numbered them. I got 1 to 60 numbered on my list.
That's... I have 5.
So I may do that. So, but be that as it may, my number 5 is a movie that I talk about a lot. And so much so that it's my Xanadu, I guess, and I've threatened to possibly do it from time to time on the show. And it
oh God.
Is...
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I think we should just fell off a chair.
My number 5 is Rhinestone, which to me is one of my favorite all-time movies and a movie that is awfully hilarious. Now, most people who say it's not have never seen it. And I'd say that's true of 3 of the people that I'm talking to at this moment.
I've seen it.
You have not.
I have seen it.
When did you see Rhinestone?
The guy Kevin we used to work with made me watch that goddamn
thing.
Oh
my God, Kevin.
15 years ago.
Hey, Kevin.
Who is this Kevin? I want to meet him.
You know who he is.
I do?
Yeah, you worked with him.
Not ringing a bell.
There you go.
Oh, God. Well, I take it back, man. I don't want to meet him. But no, I love this movie. I've always loved this movie. And it's the kind of movie to me, I like, watch it and it just doesn't lose steam. So much, though, that I'm picking next.
Well, it's hard to lose steam when you don't have it.
Ooh. Sick burn. So much so that the sister of the podcast, Karen,
yeah,
has watched this movie. And I think she kind of likes it, too. And... has kind of said, you know, maybe I should use this movie as a little retribution for Xanadu.
Yes, I saw that.
I'm not going to do that, actually. I'm going to sit on this like Matt sat on Xanadu. But Rhinestone, to me...
That might hurt with a rhinestone on your ass.
Ooh.
If you sit on it, it'll crack in half and we'll never be able to watch a damn thing.
That's horrible.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Rhinestone is my number five, and I stand by it.
I should have known.
You should have known. Now, my number four is there's been a lot of movies made, biopics made of different musicians, and I was very excited when this biopic came out because I was a huge fan to begin with. It's one of those things where like you're like, don't screw it up kind of thing, and I'm glad to say that they did not screw it up, and then my number four is Walk the Line.
That was on my short list.
Good.
I do like that movie because I'm a big Johnny Cash fan on top of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've always been a big rockabilly fan and Sun Records fan, and when I heard they were making that, I'm like, good, this is a great story. Joaquin Phoenix, I liked him in a bunch of things, and I was not disappointed. And when I saw it, it wasn't that I was even disappointed by him. It was that I was blown away mostly by Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. She... To me, when you watch that movie and you listen to June Carter sing, Reese Witherspoon as an actress is a better musician as far as singing than June Carter was.
Okay.
And when I watch that,
she's hotter too.
Well, yeah. I'd much rather listen to Reese Witherspoon sing than June Carter. And I just remember watching that movie over and over again and loving it, and even buying the soundtrack and listening to friggin' Joaquin Phoenix sing Johnny Cash songs. He was so good. So that is my number four, and I'm glad that you said that, Matt. You like that movie, don't you, Chris?
I do, actually. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's the kind of thing where, like, I don't know. It's like, I guess it's dicey for anybody that makes these biopics. If you're not a fan of the artist, you know, I don't know if that drives people away or not. But for whatever reason, that worked out, and he was nominated for Academy Award, and to me, it was just great. So. That's my number four. My number three is Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Yeah, that was on my short list as well, as you can probably guess.
I know Chris isn't a fan, but a lot of great songs, a lot of great songs. And it's a musical. I mean, most of their movies were. Like, for even if not for just to be weird, they were musicals. Right. So that's my number three. I know I've used that before on things. And that's my number three. My number two, Chris, you'll be happy to hear, is Grease.
I know. It had to be. You, as long as I've known you, you've liked Grease.
Oh, yeah. That's, to me, it's the greatest musical ever made. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're not a huge musical fan either,
no.
though. I mean,
no, I'm not.
Why do you like Grease?
I think
so
probably because of Olivia Newton-John and Travolta. I mean, Travolta was amazing in it.
Yeah. Well, I've always liked it, and it's the kind of thing where, like, my mother used to make me watch musicals because she wanted me to be well-rounded or whatever her reasons were, and damn it if she didn't make me like them, too. I mean, I'm kind of like Christy, and maybe it's like a metrosexual kind of thing to say, but I really do like musicals.
Wow.
And if I do put this list up on Facebook, there's a lot of musicals on it, and I can't see that there's any better than Grease. It's him, it's her, it's the songs, it's the era. It's just to me it's a perfect movie. It's one of those kind of movies you can sit down and watch, and there isn't a boring part to it. There isn't a dead spot in the movie. It's just perfect. And to me, it's the greatest musical ever made. But it's not my number one. My number one is...
Hold on. I'm shocked. I really am that Grease isn't your top film. Like, I'm trying to think, what do you like more than Grease?
My number one is not a musical.
Oh.
So, number two being Grease, the greatest musical of all time. Number one is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I don't think you're a huge fan of this, but it is High Fidelity.
Is that, I saw that. Is that Jack Black or Cusack or something?
It's John Cusack and Jack Black.
Okay.
And it's based on the book by Nick Hornby. I don't read many books, but I did read that. And Nick Hornby is one of my favorite writers, and turned into the movie of John Cusack's character who owns a record store. And it really does have a lot to do with music. His decisions in his life are based on music. And I've seen that movie a million times. It's really one of my all-time favorite movies. I could watch it at the drop of a hat, including a fantastic cameo by Bruce Springsteen, who John Cusack goes to for advice in a dream world. it's just, to me, one of the greatest movies ever made. And I love it. So hopefully you do, too. If you haven't seen High Fidelity, I totally recommend it. And that's my list.
It's a good list, Dave.
Nope.
That's a good list.
Thank you.
It didn't have on the bodyguard, but that's okay.
Yeah, I knew there was only going to be one bodyguard on any of our lists, and it was not going to be any of us. All right, well, that leaves Matt, the creator of the list, and I'm anxious to hear what his top five movies that feature music are.
Well, okay, knowing that Xanadu was going to be a struggle to watch, I felt it owed that I needed to actually do this list in a special way, so I have something prepared here I'm going to play to do my list. Hey there, hi there, ho there. This is Madman Matt on the airwaves here at NeoZaz.com FM here in sunny, lovely Orlando, spinning only the best hits from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. Today's a special edition of the Maniac Madman Show where I'm going to drop my top five favorite movies featuring, wait for it, music. Well, all right, without any further ado, let's get started. Coming in at number five, it's the 1979 classic and the only Roger Corman film on my DVD shelf, Rock and Roll High School. Starring Stripes hottie PJ Souls and the band that's one member away from a reunion tour of the afterlife, the Ramones. It's a classic rock-loving student body versus an oppressive administration battle that's worth a repeat viewing at least once every 10 years. Coming in at number four, it's a film that hits two of Monster Matt's unique qualifications. It's Canadian, and only I've seen it. It's 2010's FUBAR Balls to the Wall. Two ne'er-do-wells, Terry and Dean, try to start a new living in the unforgiving Mac. But somewhere in all the hardship, Dean finds a new voice that reignites his singing dreams. It's a unique film that may not be for everyone, but I have to say, testicular cancer has never been so funny. Sings a sad, sad song. It's a movie I've gone to see dozens of times, but never to actually watch. And it's number three on my list. It's 1975's The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In this cult classic, a car-troubled young couple, played by Susan Sarandon and Barry Boswick, find themselves wrapped up in the surreal world of Dr. Frankenfurter, played by Tim Curry, and Meatloaf's in it. What the fuck is going on? There's no denying the one thing that survived through the decades from this movie is its soundtrack. Let's do the time warp and move to the number two spot on the list. Uh-oh, Blame Canada, with Matt the Mike Mercenary's number two pick, South Park, bigger, longer, uncut. Trey Parker and Matt Stone helped usher in the millennium with this 1999 release. When the blood of Canadian stars Terrence and Phillip hits the ground, the gates of hell open up on Earth, and only the soul of one boy can set things right. Oh my God! They made a musical masterpiece that I will continue to watch over and over and over. I want to live and they do live well. Stonehenge,
If there is perfection to be found in the melding of music and movies, it can be found in only one place. The 1984 classic, This is Spinal Tap. My number one pick for the top five movies featuring music chronicles this British heavy metal band struggle to break into America. Christopher Guest and Rob Reiner set the bar for the mockumentary format with this movie, and Guest continues to reach new heights with Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, and For Your Consideration. But all fall short to the perfection that is This is Spinal Tap. Well, that's Magical Matt's Matt-tastic top five list for the Great E's, the Great 80s Movie Debate, and NewsAz.com FM. Peace, respect, and may all your days be top fives. So that's my top five list.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you play it again?
Oh my god,
that was really impressive.
That was professional.
That, you know what? Like, next time we do this, we better step up our game, Dave, a little bit. Because that was amazing.
That was fantastic.
It was.
We couldn't hear you guys. I'm like, are they like totally hating this? What is going on?
No, we were listening quietly.
Yeah, oh, okay. I didn't want to like interfere. You were on a roll. You were just kept on going.
Wow.
Who needs some fuck Ryan Seacrest, man? You know, Matt's on board.
That was impressive. Thank you, Matt. That was very, very cool.
You're welcome.
I'm speechless.
That's impossible.
Is that the first time you heard that, Christy?
No.
No, I played it for him. Like, do you think I should play this? I just did this. But I don't know. You said I should play this.
No, that was.
That was, yeah.
That was well done. Very impressive. All right. Well, you've heard our list.
What's going to be your top five list for next episode, Dave?
I don't know. First have to guess my movie.
Okay.
But, you know, if you have a top five list in this category, we'd love to hear it. So, not that you have to do what Matt did. I mean, Jesus. That was cool. But very good. We're done with our lists, and as we wind down the show, it's the time where we're going to learn what the next movie is that we are going to review, and it's my pick.
Oh, God.
What is that supposed to mean?
I just want to prepare mentally.
Oh, come on. I pick good stuff.
What was the last thing you picked?
Dave, I pick good stuff.
I don't know. What did I pick?
All right, we have to go back in time here.
It's so good, I can't remember. What I was going to do, and I was in a nice conversation with a listener of both this podcast and our Star Wars podcast, Star Wars in Character, an Australian gentleman by the name of Scott. Scott's a very nice guy. He's a good listener, and we were having a conversation, and he mentioned something about, you know, I should probably pick Crocodile Dundee because we have, for whatever reason, some Australian listeners, and they'd probably appreciate it. And I hadn't really decided. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll do that. So I said to Scott that I was going to do that. But I'm going back on my word. Scott, I apologize to you right now if you're listening. I am not going to pick Crocodile Dundee, even though I said I was. I hope you forgive me.
It's a Xanadu episode. No one's listening.
That's true. If you're really, really in the mood for some Australian-ness, just listen to Xanadu. I mean, you got Olivia Newton-John. Rather than doing two things that were kind of light in flavor 2 weeks in a row with two Australian-type people in them, I decided to go a totally different route and pick something that would obliterate this from our cerebral cortexes.
Oh, okay.
So, it's up to you guys to decide if you can figure out what I'm going to pick.
All right, here's a... Question number one.
Yes.
Do I own this DVD?
I doubt it.
Okay.
See, here's the thing. I think this movie's great, and I think some of us will be pleased. And this is the kind of movie that Chris usually likes, and I don't understand why he doesn't like it.
Is it action?
No.
Comedy?
No.
Horror?
Yes.
Horror movie.
And I would like to say,
I like horror movies.
Christy is going to be very upset with me.
Oh. Well, hold on.
I'm willing to answer any yes or no questions.
It's obviously not going to be, I'm guessing it's not going to be a Freddy, Michael, or Jason.
Is that a question?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be any of those.
It is not.
Yeah.
Does it involve a vampire?
Good question. No.
Okay.
Does it involve Linda Blair?
Oh.
No, it does not.
Oh.
Is that 80s? Is that 80s?
No, Exorcist came out in the 70s.
Okay.
But I really have a huge crush on
that. That movie, I was like, eh, not that good, but I thought you liked it.
Exorcist is one of the finest movies ever made.
Not that scary, though.
Oh, come on. It's not that.
Does it?
Oh, I think I know.
Go ahead, Matt.
Is a chainsaw prominent in it?
You know what? You're probably on the right track, but in my movie, well, yeah. you're getting there. Keep guessing.
I think I.
Does it involve? Oh wait, no, that was the '70s.
Not. It's not set in Texas.
No, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking.
That's my follow-up question.
I was thinking that it was.
I thought we just shouted out.
Sorry.
Here's his. Yeah.
Does it involve Stephen King?
No, ooh, but when this movie was made, it was shown to Stephen King, and Stephen King loved it, and they used it as a marketing tool to promote the film. But no, it does not. He had nothing to do with the creation of this movie, but he endorsed it.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think of what you said that I'm not a big fan of, but you are. Of horror style.
I know this movie is like right up your alley, and to me, you've always been like.
Is there a bunch of? Are there sequels?
Yes, and you've always pushed it away, and you've always been like, eh. And I've always been like, what do you mean, eh? There's no eh.
There's no eh in horror.
No. Yeah. And how many? Can I ask how many sequels there are?
There are two sequels.
Yeah. There's two.
Two sequels.
Oh.
Are there any major stars in it?
Well, there's a person that's known for this.
I still think I know. When can we guess titles?
Is this person a star? That's up to you to decide.
When can we start shouting out titles?
Go for it if you think you know.
Is it Evil Dead?
It is the Evil Dead.
Okay.
Oh, why did you think I wouldn't like it? I love Bruce Campbell.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Because it's a lonely movie, and you don't like movies like this. And I mean Evil Dead, the original. I don't mean Evil Dead 2, where there's comedy thrown in. I mean The Evil Dead, 1981's The Evil Dead.
There might be a chance. I never maybe saw this. I think I saw the comedy one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I was like, eh. I don't know if I ever saw this until I started watching it. I'll be honest.
All right.
Is this the one with like the stop-action skeletons?
No.
Like the second or third.
That's
one.
Army of Darkness. That's the
yeah,
third.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
This is, I mean, two and three are very funny, and probably the reasons that
that's
you like.
That's probably why I'm like, eh.
That maybe. You like Bruce Campbell. This is straight up horror and pretty disturbing at times. And one of the reasons that I also picked it is because Matt and Chris and I are going to be at Wizard World Philadelphia again, and they're going to have a total reunion of the entire cast of The Evil Dead, including Bruce Campbell. And I have always loved this, and Chris has always been like, eh, about it.
Maybe because it's two and three I've seen. And maybe I never saw the first one.
Right. So I always assumed Christy would not like this because it's, you know, just out there in the woods. And I want to see if it still holds up because I haven't seen it in a while. But I remember seeing this as, you know, a young person and then not too long ago, and it's still kind of gets to me, and I'm kind of curious if it still does.
I'm looking forward to it because I don't know if I saw it. Maybe I got the two and three confused, you know?
All right. Well, in that case, join us on the next episode of the Gradies, the Great 80s Movie Debate, when we will be discussing 1981's The Evil Dead. We leave you with the immortal words of Gene Kelly, who said,
"Pow!"